following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. Live from Lambeau Field, this is Jim Ozarski along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, getting ready for Packers-Panthers as the Green Bay returns to Lambeau Field after a, you know, lackluster performance in Los Angeles.
Yeah, total butt-kicking. I mean, I think we covered it pretty well in the podcast after the game. The biggest thing I take out of this is that it puts so much more importance on this next game, because if you lose to Carolina and then you're heading out to San Francisco to face one of the best teams in the NFC, and you go 0-3 in November, you know, all of a sudden you're back in the pack a little bit, and your chances of winning the division are tougher, and also getting a home playoff game. I mean, you have to think about that stuff at this time of the year. When you're 7-1, you can start to think about the playoffs and start to think about home field advantage. And they may not face a bigger game than this, because an 0-3 slump is going to affect their status.
No, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, you add in the fact that this really winnows down the home slate, you know, at this point. And you wouldn't want to lose a second NFC game at home, especially, as you said, Tom, you know, going out to San Francisco. And I think they will be underdogs out there.
Yeah.
Even after the bye, regardless of how this happens. It's not a good matchup in San Francisco. So you're right, sort of getting back on track. I think what I do want to at least bring up before we totally preview this Panthers game, Tom, is, you know, we mentioned it post-game. You know, Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers tried to walk it back a little bit, the quarterback's comments Sunday night, mm-hmm. of coming out flat, didn't like the schedule. You know, guys weren't ready, and, you know, Rodgers comes back Wednesday, says, oh, I'm not calling anyone out. I'm not, you know. What is the takeaway, you know, now here a few days later, Tom, that you got from not just what was said Sunday night, but now that we're into this week and you've seen the response to it?
Well, the response is that was bad, and we better do something about it. That was the response that Matt LaFleur had. And how much of that was influenced by Aaron Rodgers' comments, I don't know. But I do know that they practiced in full on Wednesday, where in the last three Wednesdays before that, they had just gone through walkthroughs. So clearly he was, you know, clearly he was thinking that not practicing has hurt them, or hurt them this last week, and they needed to get back to working full practice twice a week. I think they also didn't just throw the game away and say, this was an anomaly, it was a lousy game. They came back on Monday and they reviewed every second of it and made all the corrections. And those are two things that tell you that they took it really seriously, I think. And I think we can bet that they won't go out on Friday when they go to San Francisco. They'll go out on Saturday. And they just have to get back to whatever it was that fire that they had caught. You know, they need to find that again. I don't think it's that far lost. I think this was just a big shock to the system to lose that game. And now it's, okay, how do you respond to that?
Right. Yeah, it's but honestly, Tom, it's probably not even so much that they lost. It was just the manner.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, right, as we said post-game, you know, punched in the mouth in all three phases. And so now spin that forward. You know, I feel like we should start with the defensive side of things.
One thing, before I forget this, I really want to see Some of you will be listening to this by the time it's over, but I really want to see how the Chargers do against the Raiders.
Yeah.
So if they get, like, beat by the Raiders, then we know how bad a game it was for the Packers. That it was really, they just really didn't show up.
Right.
So that just thoughts. I didn't, sorry to interrupt.
No,
that thought hit me while you were talking, and I'm like, you know, that'll say something.
Right. No, for sure. So, I mean, so to see how the Packers respond, and I want to start defensively, Tom. I mean, we knew Kyle Allen was going to start for the Panthers. The news, I guess, is that Cam Newton, his season is done. That was never going to affect Sunday. But now we are back to seeing, as observers, a below average to average quarterback.
Yeah.
The Packers have been pretty successful against such players.
Can I just ask, how the heck is it that they get to face, well, of course they get to face Mitch Trubisky, but, you know, he's in his worst time. Kirk Cousins was a mess in week two. I mean, they had thrown 10 times the week before that. Joe Flacco is terrible and done for the year. Carson Wentz played really well. Dak Prescott was okay. Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback. Derek Carr is, we're finding, is pretty much a mediocre quarterback. Then they get Matt Moore. Phillip Rivers destroys them. Now they get Kyle Allen. You know, they're going to get the rookie against the Giants. They're going to get Haskins when they play Washington. And then it's back to the division. So, you know, it's like they've avoided every good quarterback, really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Rivers, Wentz, I would say those are the two elite type. You know, Wentz isn't quite elite yet, but he's right. That potential. But, you know, the Russell Wilsons, you know, Tom Brady, they're just not facing those type of guys. And, boy, that's pretty nice. You know, with Drew Brees, they didn't get
And, you know, and for the, you know, for this defense, especially for all of the issues they've had, and they will have issues. If you're a fantasy player, start Christian McCaffrey. Go pick up Greg Olson. Those guys are gonna have great days against this Packers team. In my opinion, I don't think they're gonna find a fix to those issues. However, just like Flacco, Stafford, Carr, if they put Kyle Allen in a position to have to win, that benefits the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't like Matt Moore. While Carolina has skill guys to respect and can cause problems, I think at the end of the day, Tom, here's a guy who's a 23-year-old, you know, second-year guy. Yeah, he's caught some fire in a bottle, but he's completing 60% of his passes, 6.8 yards per attempt. I mean, he's been sacked 20 times. I mean, really, his job is to hand it off to Christian McCaffrey, throw it to Christian McCaffrey, and you know, play good defense on top of that. And I think, at least for the Packers, this is maybe, I don't want to call it a get-right game, because I do foresee issues, as I said, but I think they can get back to what they've done, which is maybe sack the quarterback and maybe create a turnover or two.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it plays out that way, I don't want to say play out. I think it lines up that way. That you're really lucky to get a guy like Kyle Allen, and they're going to have to do everything they can to shake him up and get after him, sort of what San Francisco did. And that's in the Packers' advantage. On the other hand, if this is a tight game, you know, Carolina's defense is pretty good, and they could keep it kind of close. And they've played some close games, and they've won on the road. They beat Houston on the road. They beat Arizona on the road. And I'm missing one more they won on the road. It was Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Wow, that was in London. So, anyway, they haven't been horrible, or they've been competitive on the road. So I don't know what to think about this game. I do think it is set up for the Packers to win and bounce back. That said, I don't know how they're going to limit McCaffrey. I think they have to keep him out of the end zone and keep him from running 60-yard, you know, having a couple of 60-yard runs. He can have 180 yards, just keep him out of the end zone and or, you know, 180 total yards. Keep him out of the end zone and keep him from having, plus 40 plays.
Yeah, I think it goes back to, you know, a couple weeks ago, Tom, what we talked about with the Chiefs. They might have a 40 to 50-yard play, but it doesn't end in the end zone. And that's what happened in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys had a ton of explosive plays, but you didn't have the huge explosion. And then the Packers, to their credit, to this point in the year, have been pretty good in the red zone and holding teams a field goal. So I don't know. I mean, if there's going to be a fix, quote unquote, I think it has to come during the bye. I don't think, you know, Ibrahim Campbell's return off PUP this week is the magic elixir to fix their issues in the middle of the field. Adrian Amos is the one thing to watch here as you listen to this podcast. You know, he missed practice Wednesday with a hamstring injury. They've been pretty solid over the top in that way. They're just bad matchups for these linebackers and safeties at times with guys like McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think they have to, after the bye, or maybe it was even this week, they have to decide whether they're a one inside linebacker team, or if they're going to be a two inside linebacker team. If they're going to be a one inside linebacker team, then they're going to have to accept that they're going to get gashed on the ground. I just don't see any way that they can be good against the run and play that style of defense. They're going to have to play B.J. Goodson more, or they're going to have to find a way to get Oren Burks playing at a higher level. Otherwise, I just don't see any way that defense works. It's nice when your offense is ahead and you can force them, give them the run and play the pass. But as it showed in San Diego, or with the Chargers, you get behind and all of a sudden they're pounding the ball on you, and they're getting effective running yards, and they're keeping the ball and moving the chains, and they can't do that. So I think Patton's got a tough decision to make here in the whether it happens this week or after the bye.
Yeah, and I guess if there's one, I don't know if it's an advantage, but I mean, McCaffrey is the guy here. Some of these other teams had some other issues, right? It was Gordon and Eckler, it was Hill and Hardman and LeSean McCoy. If they hand the ball off, it's to Christian McCaffrey. He is the workhorse, true running back. I think the next closest rusher for them is 11 carries. Mm-hmm. He is their number one receiver. I think it's DJ Moore has, in terms of the receiving options. Yes, DJ Moore, has 45 receptions. Curtis Samuel has only 30. After that, Greg Olsen has 27. So I mean, this is a pretty, I don't want to call it an easy offense. They have gone 5-1, but I mean, I guess. I'm curious to see
it's
if
not
Mike.
Complex. Yeah, I'm curious. North Turner is a good offensive coordinator, and I think he's doing a good job with Kyle Allen. I think he's good at finding what guys do well, and I think he's probably getting less resistance than like when he was in Minnesota, as to running his scheme. But they're not a prolific offense. They have a prolific player, and that's pretty much. I think they're probably playing better complementary football than what the Packers played. Certainly what the Packers played against the Chargers. I thought the Packers were actually starting to play good. Their defense and offense were starting to fit well together. The offense was scoring enough points. The defense was giving up yards, but they were stopping teams in the red zone, and that was a winning formula. But then all of a sudden the offense stopped scoring, and then the defense couldn't adjust.
And they couldn't get off the field.
Yeah.
So even though, that Los Angeles game, Tom, it was, you know, 8-minute drive, 6-minute drive, and then now the offense is running 5 plays.
Mm-hmm.
And they just couldn't, you're right, they couldn't fit. And then I think Los Angeles, you know, pushed the issue a little bit on special teams by calling the block punt. Yeah. To try to score, and we'll get to the special teams here in a little bit. Well, you mentioned complementary football. Offensively, Tom, I mean, that was 49 plays, season low, 184 total yards, season low. You know, all of a sudden the quarterback went from MVP candidate to not in the conversation among the national among the national folks.
Yeah.
It seemed strange, I guess, to me, because after Denver, it felt like Matt LaFleur had found the rhythm. Because remember, Chicago was a disaster,
mm-hmm.
and then the first it was Minnesota, Denver. The scripts worked, and then he couldn't find rhythm after the first 15 to 17 plays, and they kind of held on. And then after that, we've seen the first to fourth quarter sort of consistency. And obviously that all went away in Los Angeles. What do you think they need to do to kind of get back to who they are, you know, against an average-ish Panthers defense?
I think they have to stop thinking about shock plays and let the, they call them shot plays, but let the shot plays kind of come out of your offense and start playing the sticks a little bit. In games like last week, I thought they kept, I thought Rodgers was trying to find a momentum play, a big play that would turn it around for them. When if they would have just kind of chipped away when they would get to second and 15 because of a penalty, try to get 8 back, try to get 9 back, then manage your third down. So they just faced so many third and longs that they really had no chance, especially given how Gus Bradley plays his defense. You know, they're a zone team, and they're not going to give you anything deep. So, I thought they were really impatient, and I think they have to be more patient. And that means giving the ball to Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, whether it's pass or run, and let the play action work for you a little bit. If you can't run it, then you don't have any play action. Or if you don't run it, you don't have any play action. And, they said that they didn't – this thing about they never got into what they wanted to do, their game plan. You know, they didn't get into the plays, which, I mean, so I guess you assume that you're always first and 10, second and 6, third and 2. I mean,
right.
You don't have plays for third and 10 or –
they haven't had many plays 15? That worked at third and 10. That's
no, for sure. Yeah, I just wonder about that philosophy that that game was winnable through the first 3 quarters, yeah. Really, if you could have got something going offensively. And so I think you have to get back to feeding those 2 running backs and playing the sticks. I mean, just get first downs and put some pressure on the other team's defense, because they put no pressure on the Chargers.
To me, it was a reminder, Tom, that this is not Aaron Rodgers' offense. For as well as he had played through 4 weeks, the reason he played well and the reason it worked was because Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams were the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys had the ball. And, yes, they only had 49 plays. They handed it off just 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw it to Aaron Jones once on the first play of the game. Now, Jamal Williams caught a few balls, but he's not the game breaker that Jones is in that way. And I think, and even Aaron Rodgers this week sort of recognized that by saying, yeah, Aaron Jones needs to touch it 20 times and Jamal needs to touch it 10 times. And honestly, mm-hmm. if those guys get between 25 to 35 total touches, those are the games they win. Let's put it that way.
Well, I think those are the games they win if that's what the defense is giving them. And I think that's what the Chargers were giving them. The Chargers were like, you're not going to – Davante Adams is not going to beat us in his first game back. We're not giving up a lot of the deep stuff. We are going to trust our four-man rush. And so if you want to beat us, then you're going to have to run it. And they just didn't react to that situation. They didn't react to that challenge. And so if Carolina comes in and they play a four-man front, but let's say they bring a safety down in the box, then they do have to throw it. But they have to do it within the offense. They can't go to all kinds of scramble plays. Take what the defense is giving you.
Which they had done, you know, I felt a good job of that.
They were doing better.
Yeah, with finding, you know, the matchups, you know, post Philadelphia to a degree of, you know, whether it's Aaron Jones catching the ball, whether it's switching to that sort of inside zone run scheme or whatever. The things that had worked for 4 weeks, I guess, between losses sort of fell by the wayside. I guess I will bring this up, you know. David Bakhtiari leads the team in penalties. You know, Brian Bulaga, you know, justifiably had a ton of credit heading into Kansas City, hadn't allowed a sack. You know, was beat for a sack in Kansas City, he didn't break a finger, but he dislocated a finger. And then the two tackles, you know, struggled in L.A.
Struggled is a kind word.
they were bad. So this Panthers team... they've fixed their pass rush. They have almost as many sacks right now as they did all of last year. Brian mm-hmm. Burns, who I know some Packers fans thought would be a good fit for this team, he, you know, they picked Gary. He slid to Carolina. He has 3.5 sacks. What are you seeing out of this sort of, you know, Panthers pass rush? And is that – I don't know if you have concerns when you have these tackles, but, I mean – because they played so well for 6 weeks.
Well, it's a different kind of team. You know, it's a big physical four-man front. This is not the speed tandem of Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. I mean, Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Vernon Butler. I mean, those are guys who can get to the quarterback, but in a different way. You know, they're not going to slip through, and they're not going to win with speed as much, you know, Brian Burns would. But they're also going to be a little tougher to run the ball against. You know, they got more size up front. I think it's – regardless, it's a big game for those two tackles, really for everybody, because everybody gave up something. I mean, Billy Turner got scorched a couple times. Lindsley got beat bad. Jenkins got beat bad. It was everybody on that line. So they just have to be stout against this. This is going to be a real physical battle inside. And, you know, they're going to have to play probably their toughest, you know, at their toughest, strongest form in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if there is one sort of weakness for this Panthers team, Tom, it is against the run. I mean, they're 26th they're in terms of total yardage given up on the ground. Maybe more importantly, since the Packers aren't exactly a forceful running team, they are second to last in the league in yards per attempt. They're giving up over 5 yards per rush,
mm-hmm.
Which, to your point of play action. I mean, maybe it's not just always handing the ball off, but if you can get to second and five, third and two off a run play, you know, that and it's only 19 handoffs, you can still be just as effective.
Yeah. If I'm facing a team that's giving up 5.1 yards per carry, I'm going to try to run the ball to start the game. And then I'm going to see whether they're bringing up somebody in the box. And if they are, then I'm going to try to punish them for doing that. So first and foremost, try to run the ball and see where that takes you. I do want to address, too, the addition of Davante Adams and whether I'm sure there's debate out there as to whether that had any effect on them playing poorly. So, I watched I'm not done watching the entire game yet, but I watched a good portion of it, and I didn't really get the sense that they were out of what they normally do. I mean, I got the sense that they plugged Adams in, and were still trying to run some of the stuff that they did. They just didn't run enough of it, and they did run some plays where it was obvious he was the intended guy. He was the primary receiver, but that's fine. That's you right. want to do that.
Right.
I thought there was even a time where Rodgers just didn't throw it to him. He was open, and he didn't throw it to him, and that reminded me of last year. Point is, I didn't see anything that said they were just throwing to Adams. I want to see more this week and see whether they are more, if they're able to spread the ball around again. But that was not my concern after watching the game. I did not sense that, okay, all he's doing is looking at Davante Adams.
Yeah, I felt like it played out the way we sort of theorized it might, where, you know, instead of four targets for Kumerow and six for Valdez-Scantling, those dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And they went toward Adams, but that's just, I think, the natural... I mean, when you have your best player returning, that's what's going
to
happen.
And he took some deep one-on-ones to Lazard and Kumerow.
You know? And those good guys, honestly, and that's the difference. We touched on that, Tom. I think those guys have to make those catches. You know, because at the end of the day... they're only going to get 2 to 3.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the 4 to 5.
Yeah.
They had the previous 4 weeks.
I think we're finding out that Kumerow is not a great deep receiver, not very good at tracking the ball on deep balls. Lazard, I don't know what happened on that deep ball. It's kind of behind him. It wasn't the best throw, but the one that Rodgers threw to Kumerow.
Yeah, that should have been a catch.
Yeah, absolutely. He just misjudged the ball or something. So. I think those shots will be available once they establish the run, once they establish Adams. They're gonna be times they're gonna have to use Adams as a decoy. You know, let teams double him and then go to the guy who's open. I am interested to see how it goes in week two with Adams back, though.
Yeah. Now, is there, you know, we have talked about the third phase at various points throughout the year. In a lot of ways, J.K. Scott has proven to be pretty good. We haven't mentioned Mason Crosby at all because he's made all of his kicks,
mm-hmm.
Including a game winner. However, while I'll say they are not the unmitigated disaster that they were a year ago, are we seeing some cracks where LA saw something on the punt block that, you know, the players told me post game, well, we've seen it, but we didn't make the proper adjustment. You know, Scott has angled some more punts out of bounds, and that's cut. That hasn't looked great the last few weeks, and the return game, especially in the punt return games, how, I mean, can you continue to function and play winning football if you're not getting anything from that part of your game? I mean, it's a net loss at this point.
Yeah. I mean, Scott was flipping the field for quite a while.
Yeah.
And he rebounded. He had a poor start in the Chargers game, and then I thought he kind of picked it back up a little bit. You know, he's only in his second year. He's going to have some moments like that. Probably when it gets colder, you know, this week, we'll see how he handles that. But I think that's kind of masked some of their other issues. I can't remember the last time I saw a guy have any room to run, a returner have any room to run, other than Tremont Smith got around the corner on that one kickoff.
And that was, I mean, and this is week 9, guys. Like, I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about one return in week 9.
I constantly see guys just winning their block, or, you know, winning off the edges on punt returns. I mean, Darius Shepherd, for the mistakes he made, he never had a chance, really. I mean, most of those punts, there were a couple where he could have returned them, but there's usually a guy down on his face, and kickoffs have been even worse. or at least as worse or as bad. And so you have to start wondering about the scheme, because a lot of times, and to some degree Ron Zook gets a pass in this regard, that the Packers are always so beat up. He was always dealing with, you know, changes. This guy's not dealing, Chaminanga is not dealing with changes. They're a healthy team. He's had a full complement of players, pretty much, to use on special teams. So that's not an excuse. They have to win a special teams game. And I think the only times that they have won a special teams game was when Scott was just killing the ball. You know, the Chicago game early on. He flipped.
Yeah, a couple of Rodgers called clutch punts.
Yeah.
You know, where you had just a huge change in position where...
I think Minnesota, he did that. Denver, he was really nailing the ball. And that's, to me, the only wins they've had. So that's something to keep an eye on. You know, what is it about special teams around here that nobody can find a coach that's any good?
Yeah, and this might be...
or that can have success. We'll find out. We don't know about Sean Menenga yet, but it's not off to a good start.
No, and... you know, I don't know if they lost in L.A. because of it, but you continue to put stuff on film. I think the players call it chasing the tape. Mm-hmm. All right, there's a punt block now on film, right? Mm-hmm. We saw this, we forecasted it with the short kicks. You know, and Trey Smith, I think, has a little more respect based on what he did last year and obviously... being able to, his top end speed is worth noting. But
they kicked it to him. They didn't kick it out of the end zone.
No, they let him return it.
And that lets you know that they feel like, okay, we can beat the scheme.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's him making an individual effort to race an edge.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. So that's not a good sign.
No, so I'm curious to see, you know, how that goes forward, you know, as more of this is on film. So I guess overall, Tom, in your history with this, you know, when you see a team come out as flat as they did in LA, you hear the words of the quarterback, the coach, they could lose against the Panthers. I think this team has been in that sort of mode all year long. I think, you know, if their record was inverse, I'd be like, I'm not surprised by that. But I don't – usually when a team comes out like that and says the things that they did afterwards, I expect a much better effort Sunday. Whether they win or not, I don't know. But is that the feel that you get, that when you're that sort of out of it on the road, that you come home and it feels like, you know, as you said, they practice on Wednesday in full. I'm sure Friday will be a little – crisper than this last Friday was.
Yeah, I don't know, because LaFleur's in his first year. Okay. I mean, if this were a McCarthy team, typically they'd come back after a lousy game like that, and they'd come back and they'd play better at home. You know, they might go on the road the next week and get their butts kicked, but they would usually gather themselves, and so that's why this is such a big week for LaFleur. I would guess that they will pull it together. Everything should be there for them. They're healthy. You know, they got the quarterback advantage. They got the home field advantage, the weather advantage. I just think there's a lot of things in their favor. So, yeah, I think they should win this game. On the other hand, there's just something that's, you know, like an unknown that I have, that I'm like, okay, this is what we're going to find out something about LaFleur and this team, is whether they were a fraud.
Yeah, because I think the loss against the Eagles was so different, in that was the first time the offense really took off. They scored 30 points and really... You know, they had all those trips to the red zone, and for whatever the variety of reasons, whether it be the play calling or lack of Jimmy Graham being able to make a catch, they lose the game. But yeah. there was a different feel to it than obviously what happened in Los Angeles. And obviously at that point, that was the first time the defense had shown some of these issues that have since been exploited.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we know more, you're right, Tom, that is the one unknown we have, yeah. is how the head coach and this staff, you know, begins to adjust as all these other coaches have more film and more things to take advantage of.
And just again, are they a fraud? I don't know. I don't know. I was sensing that they were, and that's why I picked them to lose in Kansas City, and I was doubtful about the Lions game, and I thought the Raiders would keep it close. I was wrong on all those things, but then all of a sudden the Chargers game has made me start to wonder again. So I don't know if this game proves it one way or the other. The San Francisco game is the one that will be the real measuring stick. You know, if they win that game, then they're, I think we can say they're for real. If they lose this game, then I have some real questions about whether they're good enough to be a playoff team.
Yeah, because then you're hitting the bye with two straight losses and then going to a place that really there's no great matchups there on paper. So
I will say that there's a couple of guys who have to come up big for them in order for this to turn around. They got to get more out of the middle of their defense. They got to get more out of Kenny Clark. They got to get more out of Blake Martinez. That's, I think, the middle of your defense is where, you know, they were the two guys outside were doing so well in part because the guys in the middle were helping them out, and so now we're seeing them getting sacks on, you know, one sack here or one sack there, a couple of hits, but it wasn't to the degree when Kenny Clark was really penetrating up the middle. And I sense that his calf injury is probably one of the reasons. And Martinez is banged up, and we know what he is. He's not Luke Kuechly. You know, people need to understand that. He needs some help in the middle, I think. I also think that Jair Alexander has to turn it on. It's time for him to become that big play guy that they've been looking for. And he had a chance for an interception in that Chargers game and let it, you know, he misjudged the ball.
Yeah.
That would have been a huge play. It wasn't his fault totally on that deep ball. He got abandoned by a safety. Adrian Amos bit up on there and but, you know, Alexander has to find a way to make that play. It's just one of those things where you have these really good players, and good players have to make big plays, and they haven't been getting them. So those are three guys that I think have to come up big in this game for them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, offensively, Tom, I'll add in the, you know, I think the quarterback needs to bounce back a little bit. For as much as I think Aaron Jones and Jabal Williams need to be given the ball, to your point, I mean the quarterback at the end of the day is the one who has to get it to them in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if he can, you know, kind of as he said, I think he even acknowledged it was not, you know, he's going to have a dog every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of admitted that a little bit on Wednesday, you know, where it was like, you know, over his career he's had a few of those. And
and I think it was a dog for LaFleur as well. I don't think the offensive staff didn't pull them out of that funk. And
right.
They needed to, and they couldn't do it.
So we'll see how they all respond Sunday against Carolina, Tom. And, you know, I personally respond well when I go visit our friends at Potawatomi Hotel and Casino, Tom, you know, especially on Wednesdays.
Nice.
Yeah, hey, because, hey, Wednesday night wins this fall at Potawatomi. Play with your club card for your share of $250,000 in total prizes. And, of course, you can always learn more by visiting paysbig.com/fallwins.
I'm just going to say it's a really good thing they don't have football betting and that people, because people might be following my advice, and they would be in the poorhouse right now. This is the worst year I've ever had picking games against the spread. That's an embarrassment, and I'm like, really don't want to show my face anywhere.
Well, so but see, you would think at this point, though, Tom, people are going the other way. They see your pick, and like, wow.
They should go the other way.
They're going the other way.
I had some bad beats last week, but I can't make excuses, you know. I just had a Chargers game, you know.
Yeah, you got to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
You know, go to bed a little earlier this weekend.
I'm the Cincinnati Bengals of betting right now.
Well, you know, this Sunday's a new chance for you, Tom.
Okay.
It's a new chance.
Thanks for that.
Well, we will be right back here inside Lambeau Field on Sunday late evening after the Packers host the Panthers.
And it's the bye week. Yeah.
And then we will be off for a little bit. But, yeah, we look forward to seeing you Sunday afternoon, late, or maybe early Monday morning, depending when you dial us up, either for your ride home, your workout. We appreciate it. Of course, make sure to download, subscribe to jsonline.com, packersnews.com. Make sure you have those apps and your push notifications so you don't miss anything from any of us at the Journal Sentinel and packersnews.com. So for Tom, I am Jim. We'll talk to you next time.